this article by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. What does the decimation of North American buffalo herds have in common with 15-minute cities? And I was really happy to see that somebody else is talking about the Indian reservation system as being a precursor to the smart cities, to Agenda 21, to the 15-minute cities, and all these different things. You know, first they called it Agenda 21, then they called it the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainability, and smart cities appeared. That was about 2015. Now, within the last year or two, they started talking about 15-minute cities. But all of this harkens back to the American Indian reservations. And I've talked about it for a very long time. And I said, it is really scary when you stop and think about it, because this is something that our government has already done. It's already locked people into a reservation system that you can't get off of it. And we're going to have this administrated by federal employees. And they're going to be incredibly corrupt, and they're going to punish people if they even have a garden. This has been done in America to American Indians for a long time. And so Dr. Sherry Tenpenny picks it up at the point where they're destroying their food source, because that's where we are right now. You know, you'll own nothing, you'll eat the bugs, and we'll take over even the tractors. And that's what they did. That's how they began the whole process, the buffalo killers. As she points out, in the 1800s, the U.S. government played a definitive role in shaping the fate of Native Americans. How did they do it? The government allowed the decimation of the buffalo herds in the Great Plains. When the buffalo were gone, it was easier to force Native Americans onto reservations. Why? Because their primary food source was gone. And as a matter of fact, and tying those two things together, you know, we've been talking a little bit about the Civil War. If you go back and the general who was in the Civil War, and then he went out west and fought in the Indian Wars, General Philip Sheridan, was the one who said the only good Indian is a dead Indian. And before he said that, during the Civil War in Shenandoah, the Shenandoah Valley, incredibly fertile area. But he said, by the time I'm finished with this place, a crow won't be able to fly from one end of the Shenandoah Valley to the other without carrying his own food with him. He says, it's coming after the food. It's coming after groups of people and isolating them, killing them, but taking away their food source is the primary way that they did this. The U.S. government allowed vast overhunting, so much so that the 30 to 60 million buffalo that once roamed the plains were reduced to only about 300 by 1899. It was breathtaking and staggering loss. Thankfully, the U.S. conservation groups established a bison reserve in Yellowstone, and since then, the numbers have rebounded. But again, it is the same tactic that we see now, coming after the food supply, with the end goal of taking this group that you want to control and completely isolating and containing them. And the other part of the Indian reservation that I've always talked about is the fact that a key part of it was to not only take their food supply, but to relocate them to another area. You know, this is the type of thing that they're going to try to do with this UN agenda, this Davos agenda. They'll try to relocate us. They'll try to take us off of our land. They'll try to put us into big cities, hopefully for them, somewhere that is far enough away that we can't get back to our familiar stomping grounds. But they also took the children, which is what we've just been talking about. They took the children away from the Indians, and they transported them back to the East Coast and put them in boarding schools because they wanted to completely eradicate any ties to their family, any ties to their culture, to their religion, and that's what they're doing right now. Very systematic. And this same system has already been enacted here in the United States. The Native Americans suffered a worse fate than the buffalo. U.S. officials welcomed this devastating hunting as an end to their means. No buffalo meant no food, and it was a way to force the natives to settle on the reservation. And so you have to understand how, again, history does not repeat, but it rhymes. Very much so. The promises of the reservation sounded very much like the false allure of the 15-minute cities being offered to us by today's global elites. Before considering this city concept to be an ideal utopia, be reminded that Native Americans still live in abject poverty today, one of the most regulated populations on Earth. Hasn't really changed that much. There are 55 million acres of land on Native American reservations, but only 5% of that land is privately owned. The federal government owns and operates the rest under the guise of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, part of the Department of the Interior. The Native American poverty rate is nearly double that of the rest of the U.S., with many people living without electricity, without plumbing, without other basic human needs. Alcoholism and violence against women are rampant. It is tragic, says Sherry Tenpenny. The Bureau of Indian Affairs tells it differently, though. They say, we promote safe and quality living environments, strong communities, self-sufficiency, and individual rights, while enhancing the protection of the lives, prosperity, and well-being of the American Indians and the Alaska Natives. She says, have any of the appointed bureaucrats of the BIA ever visited or spent any time on a reservation that they're supposed to oversee? And when you look at the pushback by Indians and as they talk about how corrupt the people who run this are, and of course there are other Indians who are running it. That's the most effective way. That is always the way they run this tyranny, as they get people that are like you, the people who are unlike you, who are targeting you, get people who are like you to be your taskmasters, your slave owners. And so these kids that I played these clips for you, now they're going to school, they're learning to hate people because of their skin color or their religion or this or that. They're learning to be Marxist revolutionaries, and they don't realize that they're useful idiots who are being enslaved themselves. Everything is about tearing down our society, tearing down monuments and memorials because they've got some kind of a connection to slavery. And they tell us everything in our society, everything in the UK, everything in America is all about slavery. So it all has to be torn down, ultimately. Everything must be torn down.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask. Take your vaccine. Don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.